Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Your Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, it says, "For there is one God," somebody say one God, "and one mediator," somebody say one mediator, "between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." The Bible says that Jesus wasn't just a man. The Bible says Jesus was the man. I like it that my Lord is the man. He says the man, Christ Jesus. Here's why he was the man: because he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus was more than just a man. Jesus was the man. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell him Jesus was the man. This man told the wind to shut up and the waves to be still. This man stared the devil into his eyes and told him to get the hell out. This man never shirked a responsibility. He never looked for the easy way out. He paid his own way and yours too. He did whatever it took to give his family a better life. He led by example. He kept his word no matter what it cost. And then he crawled up on an old rugged cross and he said to Satan, "Make my day." He was buried in a borrowed tomb where for 3 days he descended into hell and kicked the devil's tail. On the third day he got up from the grave, kicked the end out of a borrowed tomb, was holding the keys to death and hell in his hands, and he said, "Behold, I'm alive forevermore." Hallelujah. That's who we celebrate today. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Alpha, the Omega, the hero of heaven, the hope of humanity. His name is Jesus. He's the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. He's the only one in the spotlight today. If anybody's thankful for the Son of God, would you give him praise? We're not just celebrating a man today, we're celebrating the man today. Michael, you're the man. Good to see you, buddy. Everybody give Mikey a hand today. Mikey, you want to stand up and turn around, look at everybody? Wave at him real big. Oh, yeah. See, Satan has perverted. Can I tell the truth today? As if you'd hear anything else in church. Satan, depends on where you go, I guess. Satan has perverted who Jesus Christ is in the minds of men. For too long, we've given the world a picture of Jesus painted in the soft glow of muted light with high cheekbones and a demeanor that's more suited to Richard Simmons. No wonder there's no men in the church. They can't relate to a guy like that, much less a God like that. Men want a leader who's got a sick whip. Men want a guy who rides a big white stallion. Men want to follow a man with fire in his eyes and hair like a lion's mane and a tongue as sharp as a samurai katana. A guy like Buford Pusser, the sheriff that carried a lead pipe and wasn't afraid of using it to bring his enemies into submission. A man who annihilates his arch enemy with the blast of his breath like the afterburner on the jet engine of an F-22 Raptor. I'm not talking about the Avengers. I'm talking about the Alpha and Omega. I'm not talking about Iron Man today. I'm talking about the Anointed Man today. This isn't Marvel. We're talking about the Messiah, and he leads his army into victory every single time. That's the man that men need to hear about, a man named Jesus from Galilee. Jesus wants you to be a man. Somebody tell your neighbor that. Jesus wants you to be a man. Now, if you're sitting beside a woman, I might have created total confusion today. That's come back Wednesday and we'll sort that out. 6:30. Got kids ministries because we don't want them in here when we're talking about it. There is nothing feminine about walking with God. For too long, men have thought church was a place for guys who are dressed by their wives and squat to pee. There is nothing feminine about following Jesus Christ. There is nothing feminine about living for God. When you get saved, you didn't have to turn in your man card. To be manly is to be godly, and to be godly is to be manly. And there is a place for real men in the church of Jesus Christ. Masculinity is a gift from God, and I know society and the mainstream media wants to paint dads like the village idiot, but can I tell you, where the head goes, the body follows. And if you want to follow an idiot, that's fine. But if I was you, I'd start speaking life to your man. I'd start blessing your man. I'd start calling your man what God's created him to be. Come on, give God praise this morning. God used manly men in the Bible. I love that. The men of the Bible were not weak-kneed, limp-wristed pansies. They were lions. They didn't hesitate. They ran towards the battle lines. They were fearless in following the voice of God. They didn't back down from a challenge. They risked everything in serving God. They were men of honor, men of integrity, men who were valiant and courageous, not afraid or ashamed to shed their own blood for the cause of Jesus Christ. Every one of them had an intense commitment. They had a deep conviction. They refused to compromise. They were driven by a mission, and they had a vision for their life. They were real men, and that's the kind of men that God wants to wake up in this day and in this generation. That's the kind of men that families are looking for. Real men in the Bible. I want to talk to you today about one of those real men, a mighty man. It's one of the most famous stories in your Bible. You'll find it in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I want to tell you the story about a man named David. The Bible says at the opening of 1 Samuel chapter 17 that there was a battle going on, and the children of Israel had drawn up in battle array against the Philistines. They had come into a valley. Israel was on one mountainside. The Philistines were on the other, and in the middle was a deep valley. And the Bible says that every day they would gather together and they would get in their battle array. The Philistines had a champion. Somebody say champion. A man by the name of Goliath. He was a giant. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall. He weighed 500 pounds. He carried a javelin made of bronze that sat right here between his shoulder blades, and you could see it standing up above his head. He carried a spear, and that spearhead itself weighed 15 pounds. And if you've ever thrown a shot put, you know how heavy that could be. The amount of mail he was wearing on his body, his body armor, weighed 125 pounds itself. And he would come out and he would step into that valley and he would say, "You got nobody who can look me in the eye and go toe-to-toe with me." He said, "Y'all are a bunch of cowards. You don't stand for nothing. I want you to send me a man. Give me a man." Can I tell you, Satan is still picking a fight with every man. Satan is looking for a fight with the men. And God is calling for men, not who run from him, but who will run toward him. Men who understand that Jesus said, "All authority is given to you, and I give you the authority to trample on demons and evil spirits, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Men who understand that greater is he that's living inside them than the one that's living in the world. And so Goliath, he'd walk out there and he would taunt the people of God. He would taunt Israel. He said, "Send me a man." And this is what he said, y'all. He said, "Here's what's going to happen. If I defeat him, y'all are going to be my slaves. You're going to serve us." But he said, "If you beat me, then we'll serve you." Can I tell you, it always comes back to who are you going to serve? I said it always comes back to who are you going to serve. But the Bible says there was a man by the name of Jesse. I like Jesse. I like Dukes of Hazzard growing up, so I think of Uncle Jesse. A man by the name of Jesse, he was from a town called Bethlehem. You might have heard of that town before. Something else happened in a manger a little bit later on, maybe you've heard of. We kind of make a big deal of it around December 25th. But this Jesse was from a town called Bethlehem, a small farming community. And he had 8 sons. Somebody say 8 sons. Jesse's youngest son, the 8th son, was a man named David. Somebody say David. David was a shepherd boy. His 3 older brothers were out on the battle lines doing battle with the Philistines, and they had gone out. David stayed home and tended to the sheep. David took care of the father's flock. David oversaw the things at home so everything else could go on. And one day, Jesse called for David and said, "Come here, son." He said, I want you to take this bread and some of these supplies, and I want you to deliver them to your brothers on the battlefield, and I want you to see how they're doing. And when David got there, he began to check in with them. And on that day, the Goliath, Philistine, the giant, came out. Now, for 40 days, he had come out every day and taunted Israel with the same words. David heard those words, and he said, what is this? Goliath's voice was so strong and boom so heavy that when he would speak that, the Bible says that the men of Israel would literally run away in terror and in fear. They were stricken with fear on the inside. But David says, who is this joker? And his oldest brother gets angry and he says, you little punk, why are you even here? I bet you didn't even leave nobody to take care of daddy's sheep. I know you came down here for the wrong reason. I know the pride in your heart. And his eldest brother begins to taunt him and put him down and belittle him. And so David ignores him and he turns to somebody else and he says, what is the deal here? Who is this guy? Who is this Goliath? Why is somebody not doing something about it? Well, King Saul heard about it and said, I want you to bring that little boy to me. And so they bring David to King Saul. And David says, fear not, king. I am able to go fight this guy. And he looked at him and thought, the hope of Israel is in what? You're just a boy. This guy's been fighting for his entire life. Here's what David said to the king. He said, oh, king, I know a few things about fighting. Don't let the appearance fool you. When I used to take care of daddy's sheep, there were times when a lion would come and grab one of those little ewe lambs and carry it off. And king, I didn't let him just take it, but I went off after him. And when that lion turned around and dropped that lamb and reared up thinking he was going to take a hold of me, I caught him by the beard and I beat him with my bare hands and I ripped him to shreds. He said, king, if that don't impress you, one time there was a bear. And he come after one of daddy's lambs and he snatched it and I tracked that thing down. And when he reared up on me, I grabbed him by the nap of his neck. I popped him in the jaw, knocked him out, and I ripped him from one end to the other. When I was done with him, he was nothing more than a rug in the living room. He said, and my God who delivered me from the lion and my God who delivered me from the bear is the same God who's going to deliver me from this Philistine. If God did it once, he's going to do it again. I've got faith in him. It's not by my might or by my power, but it's by the Spirit of God, this enemy is going to go down. Saul said, well, that all sounds great, but just in case you're wrong, why don't you put my armor on? He's wearing the king's armor. He looks pretty good. I imagine if they had a mirror and he looked in it and he saw how beautiful it was and how shiny it was, like a fire truck. I mean, he probably had a guy sat around all day just polishing that stuff. He thought, I look pretty good, but David didn't let vanity take over. See, sometimes we let vanity get in the way of victory. Sometimes victory's ugly. Sometimes victory don't come the way we thought, but you ought to just get comfortable being who you are. And so he says, no, 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 king, thank you, but I can't go in this. I haven't tested it. And so he picked up his staff and he picked up his bag and he picked up his sling and he went to a brook. And verse 40 says that he picked up 5 smooth stones. He took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones. 5 what? Smooth stones. And he put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch that he had. He picked up 5 smooth stones and he put them in that bag. He walked out on the battlefield as Goliath was out there taunting Israel, and Goliath laughed, and then it turned into anger because he said, I'm a man and you sent me a flea. He said, I'm going to crush this kid. This ain't even going to be a contest. I don't even want to waste my time on him. And David looks him in the eye. And he says, you come to me with metal and leather and iron and bronze. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you in a greater weapon. I come to you with something that exceeds anything you've got, Jack. And instead of being discouraged by how big he was, he thought, my God, he's too big to miss. I can't help. I can't help see your glasses half full or half empty. He walked out on that battlefield. He took a rock in his hand. He picked up his rag. He dropped the first joker that walked up to him. David slung that sling. That stone went whizzing through the air like a guided missile. It sank David right into Goliath's forehead. Goliath fell to the ground. David went over to him, pulls out his own sword out of Goliath's, cuts Goliath's head off with Goliath's sword. I mean, that's really punking a dude right there. I'm going to use your sword to take your head off. And that's exactly what he does. And when he does, all the men of Israel, something begins to rise up inside of them. There's a boldness on the inside. Hope is now on the scene again. Tomorrow, there's hope for me again. All of a sudden, there was a bravery and a courage that took over the entire nation. And they said, if he can do it and God used him, then God will use me. And they got up and ran after the Philistines. They chased them all out of there and slayed them. They took their stuff and God won the victory that day. Can you give him praise? And there's some things I want you to understand today from this story. As a matter of fact, if I had to have a title for it today, it's very simply, it's time to get some stones. I said it's time to get some stones. It's time for the men of God to get some stones. The first stone I want to deal with today is very simply this. Number one, that David was obedient to the Father. He was doing his Father's will. He was going on what looked like a meaningless mission. And yet he stepped right smack into where God the Father wanted him. Can I tell you today, no matter what you do, no matter how meaningless it might look, that God says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. I don't believe anybody here's by accident today. I believe this is a divine encounter this morning. I believe you've come to a crossroads today. I believe God wants to wake something up in the mighty men. God, give us men with a heart to do the Father's will. Jesus came and said, my food, my fuel is to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus said, I didn't come to do what I want. I came to do what the Father wants me to do. Amen. Number one, David was obedient to the Father. Number two, David was anointed with the Holy Spirit. That's our second rock today. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Just the chapter before, the Bible says that the prophet, the man of God, God spoke to, and he took a horn of oil. Oil in the Bible represents the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he went looking for a new man that God would anoint to be king over Israel. And when God was looking, he didn't look at outward appearance. He went through Jesse's sons and he started with the oldest. And the man of God said, surely it's this guy. He's tall. He's good looking. He's a leadership from every standpoint in the natural. One by one, he went down the line, all seven of Jesse's sons. And finally, David wasn't there. He was tending sheep. He said, brother, do you have another son? And he said, yes, sir. His name's David. He's on the backside of the wilderness. I'll call and get him. He said, bring him here. And when he saw David, the Bible says that the Lord spoke to the man of God's heart. And he said, this is the one I want. Anoint him because he has the heart I'm looking for. Can I tell you today that no matter what you look like on the outside, God is looking for heart. And he said, I want you to anoint him. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord in 1 Samuel 16:13, that the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day forward. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. I want you to understand today, church, that David was the last son of Jesse. Get this. You cannot overlook the last sons. Acts chapter 2 says, in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. There is an outpouring of God's spirit and God's power in the last days on the last sons that will usher in a move of God in a revival, the likes of which the earth has never seen. Amen. I'm talking about Acts 1:8, receiving power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit in power. This is a day to celebrate the power of the Father. This is a day that God is birthing power inside of men. This is a day that he is laying his hand upon every man on this premises and he's anointing them and saying, I've chosen you because of your heart. God, give us men with the anointing. God, give us men who will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit again. David was obedient to the Father. David was anointed. That was his second rock with the Holy Spirit. But the third stone was David defeated the voice of discouragement. David defeated the voice of discouragement. Can I tell you today that every one of you here is going to have to defeat the voice of discouragement in your life? And yes, there are other people that will come to discourage you. Satan will make sure that he sends them. But can I tell you, the loudest voice of discouragement is the one right in here. That voice that screams every day, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, your past prevents you from doing anything for God. David walks up, and instead of his brother being happy that it brought him a snack pack, he begins to lay into him about how much of a little punk he is because he even showed up. And then he proceeds to tell him how he'll never amount to anything and he ought to go back to tending daddy's sheep. Can I tell you this morning, there will always be people who want to send you back to where you came from. People who will never see you as anything more than what they used to know you as. People with a critical spirit, and that spirit can crush God's calling. Can I tell you that anytime you step out in faith, there will always be somebody there to discourage you from your destiny, to detour you from what God's called you to be. I remember when we built this place, I mean, people thought we were nuts. We moved in here 7 years ago, and I remember one man came and said, well, if it don't work out, it'll make a great hay barn. Well, look around you today. Hey! We got to do something about this. We're going to have to get the fairgrounds next year or something. But don't be surprised when you take a stand and you try to do something for God if you get attacked. Don't think that you're out of the will of God because the opposition's coming against you. Most of the time, that's an indicator you're right smack where you need to be. Can I tell you, nothing for the kingdom comes easy. Can I tell you, if you're going to do anything for God, Satan's going to put up a fight. The Bible says in Matthew 10:36, a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Don't be surprised when the people who resist you the most might even have the same last name, might even have the same DNA, might even live in the same house. People who should have had your back might be the first to stick you in the back. But I come to tell you, they cannot limit or reduce or diminish God's destiny for your life. They cannot tie you to small things unless you allow them to. God is speaking into your heart today. You need to allow his voice to be the strongest. He says, I know the plans I have for you, and they're incredible. They're beyond anything you've ever seen, anything you've ever heard, anything you could ever imagine. And if you'll seek me, I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't even know yet. Can you say amen? Amen. The first stone was David was obedient to the Father. The second stone was David was anointed with the Holy Spirit. The third was David defeated the voice of discouragement that we have to overcome. And the fourth was simply this, and you guys who are my generation understand it. David overcame OPP. Other people's perception. You know, everybody's got a picture of what they think you look like. Can I tell you, none of them matter? All that matters is what he thinks. All that matters is what he says. I am who he says I am. I can do what he's not who I used to be. I can do what he says I can do. Not what you said I can do. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. See, the king looked at David and he thought he was weak and he tried to put his armor on him to help him out. Some people come to you and they don't even realize it, but they have good intentions. But they don't understand that unless you use what you've proven, they're going to get you killed. People will try to put things on you, ideas and expectations and opinions. And I want to say to you today, don't dilute yourself with somebody else's idea of who you ought to be. The fuel in every one of those cars out there, I smelled some of them coming in. I could tell it was race gas. Sunoco 260, 110 octane, had that sweet smell. I'd love to just hook a gas mask up to their muffler if it wouldn't kill me. But if you dilute that stuff with water, can I tell you, that thing will run like junk. Don't dilute who God's called you to be. You are the most potent and you have the most potential when you are concentrated. Anytime you step out in faith, people are going to try to weaken and diminish and dilute what God's called you to do. Here's the danger. You look great in Saul's armor. I mean, you look good. But you're just a poser. You're a pretender. Some people care more about vanity than about victory. We used to have a saying at the track, and it was run what you brung. Just be who you are. You be you, and let me be me. Can you say amen today? Come on, give God praise that you can be you. David overcame other people's perceptions, but the fifth rock, he used a rag, but the fifth rock is simply this, that David understood the power of one. David understood, and this is what I need to get seated into every man's spirit today. He understood that me and God are a majority. He understood that greater is the one living in me than Satan is coming against me. He understood that the pressure being released and the power on the inside of me is greater than the pressure pushing on the outside of me. I can't implode because I've got the King of Kings releasing his power inside of me. I don't just have a generator. I have a regenerator living on the inside of me. It's the Holy Spirit. David understood that if God be for me, then who can be against me? See, one man is all it took. Can I tell you today that just one man is all it takes? The entire nation of Israel was cowering in fear. Everybody wants to be an armchair quarterback. Everybody has an opinion when you're sitting on the sidelines. But when you step out of the line and you step out in front, all of a sudden it gets quiet. You don't hear all the chatter anymore. You understand that me and God are in this thing together, and if he don't show up, I'm going down, but I don't have to do this alone. He promised to never leave me or forsake me. The entire nation of Israel is cowering in fear. Every one of them was trembling. They were waiting for one man. They were waiting for a hero. They were waiting for a champion to emerge. The nation's future hung in the balance. Everyone was waiting. Everyone was watching. Everyone was looking for 40 days, hoping that someone would step up. Women were in their tents praying on their knees, seeking God's face and crying out, God, send us a warrior. Can I tell you today that families are crying out, God, send us a warrior. God, send us a mighty man. God, let my man rise to his potential in you. Let my man slay the giants that are standing in his way. The freedom of every family depended on the victory of this one man, because if they lost, they all went into slavery. Everything hinged on David's victory. Everything hinges on Lou's victory. Everything hinges on Mike's victory. Everything hinges on Greg's victory. Everything hinges on Woody's victory. Everything hinges on Steve's victory. Everything hinges on Brad's victory. Everything hinges on Waiter's victory. Your family, your future, your freedom is depending on your victory. For you to overcome the giants that Satan has set in your path. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Hallelujah. One man was all it took. One man was all it took to restore direction. One man was all it took to restore hope. One man was all it took to restore courage. One man was all it took to unlock a nation. Because can I tell you, when that rock sank into Goliath's head and he went down for the count, everybody that was standing back in the shadows took a step out into the light and ran toward the battle line when they were retreating. Hallelujah. One man at Victory Church is all it takes to ignite a fire. One man is all it takes to start a revival. Come on, give God glory today. Give him praise. Let the mighty man lift up a shout. Let the mighty man lift up a shout. Stay with me. Proverbs 17:6. The glory of children is their father. The glory of children is their father. The pride of children is their father. Oh God, give us some men in the name of Jesus that kids that can be proud of daddy again. No matter what's happened in your past, can I tell you, this is a new day. You a line in the sand, you step into the fight, and you say, from this day forward, my kids are going to be proud of their daddy again. Come on, give God praise right there. One man is all it takes. One man is all God needs. Listen to me close. God says to every man standing in the shadows today, who told you to lower your expectation? Who told you to factor me out of the equation? I shed my blood to give you a new birth. I created the ball you live on called earth. Who told you victory couldn't be had? Who is the one questioning whether or not I'm your dad? Who is it challenging your new identity? I'm the one that chased you through time, and I died on the tree. In my father's house, I prepared a place for you. Who told you that's something I can't do? Who caused the worry and planted the doubt? I'm the one that said I'd never cast you out. I speak what I mean, and I back up what I say. I'm the same yesterday and forever, but especially today. I'm coming back to put away your pain and your sorrow. So live your life ready. There's no guarantee of tomorrow, but this time I come, I'm gonna be wearing a crown with fire in my eyes. That dragon's going down. So be strong and courageous. There's no need to fear. I'll never leave or forsake you. I'm always right here. So lift your head high and run to the fight. The darkness is great, but it's no match for my light. Come on, give God praise. Do you know why I picked up 5 stones? Anybody know why? Goliath had 4 brothers. He had no intention of losing. David had the victory before he ever showed up at the fight. He had vision. God wants to unlock vision in every person here today. God wants to show you a future where you can see yourself in victory. That's the future he wants to reveal. John 3:3. Unless a man's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. My friends, standing in a garage don't make you a car, and coming to church don't make you a Christian. Being a Christian means I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ came and lived a sinless life because I lived a sinful life. I've fallen short. My sin has separated me from God. I'm hopelessly and helplessly and eternally lost without him. His wrath abided on me because of my crimes against him. But he sent his son because he loved me so much. And there, after living a sinless life for 33 and a half years, they tacked him to that cross where he died as a substitute. He said, I'm going to step into your place. I'm going to be cursed so you can be blessed. I'm going to die so that you could live. And 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. Friend, being saved, having a relationship with God, being headed for heaven and free from hell, finding purpose in your life, receiving a vision that will set you on a path from this day forward is as simple as saying, I believe God raised Jesus from the dead after he died for me. Jesus, you're Lord of my life, and I turn from my old life and I turn towards you. Today, I choose to believe the gospel. I'm changing the way I think about what I've heard. I'm changing the way I think about thinking I can have another day to get my life right. Today is the day of salvation. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you thought you were just coming to a car show today, but can I tell you, God knew you'd be here, and you are being extended the greatest gift you will ever receive, one you cannot afford to lose. And if you're here in just a moment and you say, Josh, I want to accept Christ as my Savior today. I want to receive Jesus as Lord of my life. I believe what you just said, and today I want to invite him to take my life over. I've made a mess of it and I need his help. I want to be saved today. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. There's those of you here today who are like me 17 years ago. I walked into church on a Wednesday night as an addict and an alcoholic, and can I tell you, I walked out completely free. I grew up in church. I knew better, but I ran from the fight. I ran from God. And I ran like hell. But God arrested me. And he brought me to a moment just like you are right now. I'm talking to somebody who said, Josh, that's me. I received Christ as my Savior at one time, but I've let sin creep in and crowd him out today. I want him back. Friend, I thought he could never love me again. Can I tell you that's the biggest lie Satan will ever tell you? He's as close as the whisper of his name. You're not nearly as far from God as you think. He's the Father that's always home, and his arms are open wide right now. And all it takes is saying, Jesus. I'm going to count to three. And if either of those are you, I want you to shoot your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out, but I want to know who I'm praying with today. I'm going to pray with you just like somebody did with me 17 years ago. One, two, three. Josh, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All over this room. Thank you, sir. Is there somebody else here today? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. I see you there. Thank you in the balcony. Thank you in the balcony. Raise your hand real high.